From KUOW 94.9, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Conversation, and I'm with Becky Lerner. She is the dandelion hunter. She's a forager for wild plants for food and medicine, twine and paint, soap and incense. Her book is called Dandelion Hunter, Foraging the Urban Wilderness. Becky has kindly agreed to go on a foraging expedition with me and KUOW's Hannah Byrne to the nearest green spot to our studios, which is Frat Row, 17th Avenue Northeast in Seattle, and also the university campus. We'll find out if we can get anything to eat. And one of the things that fascinates me about this book is that you set yourself a task that in Portland you would go for 1 week eating only wild food you foraged from parks and parking strips and alleyways within walking distance of your apartment. You're alive, so you survived, but were you emaciated and really hungry after your week? How did it work out?
It's hard to get emaciated in just a few days. If I had figured that out, I'd patent it. yeah, it was really challenging. The first time I did it, it was just within the Portland metro area. It wasn't just walking distance. It could be driving distance, too, but it had to stay within the general Portland area. And the main challenge was this season. It was the end of May, and at that point, I had a few months of experience in identifying wild edible plants, and one of the things I knew that was really motivating and inspiring to me was that historically, the people of the Pacific Northwest have been hunter-gatherers. They were not agricultural peoples, and so I thought, well, if this region has such a strong history in sustaining folks off the wild, certainly I should be able to do it. Well, that didn't turn out quite like I thought.
What happened?
Well, I lasted about 5 days, and what I found was that the wild food that I could find in late May was generally greens, like dandelion leaves and some roots, burdock root and wild carrot root and things like that, and a lot of tea greens. And I discovered that that isn't enough to sustain 8 hours a day of searching for food across the city, finding a smattering of roots here and then driving across the city and wandering around in a wilderness area and finding some tea herbs. It just didn't work out. I didn't want to quit, but I got to a point on the fifth day where I was going to black out, and I thought...
Hunter-gatherer, a tough gig. Tough gig to be a hunter-gatherer, huh?
It is when you do it the wrong way. And that's what I discovered. I did it the wrong way. And there is a right way. At least there is an efficient way. And so I tried it again in November of that year, which was 2009. And before I did it again, I decided, you know what, this time I think I'm going to do a little more research. And I'm going to find out how people lived off of the wild here. And what I discovered was that nuts and fruits and roots made up a really important part of the wild plant diet. Of course, they were also living off of salmon and deer. And as I'm not a hunter, and I did not want to fish in the Columbia and the Willamette, knowing about the extent of pollution and contamination in those rivers, I decided I was going to do it vegetarian, in line with what my diet was at the time. And I discovered that it would be really important for me to go out and harvest the nuts and the fruits when they were available in the summer and early fall and store them up so that I would have them on hand when I did the experiment again in November. And that is how the people of the Pacific Northwest lived off of wild food. And I also noticed it would be really important for me to bring in friends and a broader sense of community during the gathering to make it more efficient. And I really understood then why we are all such social creatures.
Becky Lerner is my guest today, and if you just tuned in, we are at the corner of Memorial Way and Northeast 45th Street, right by the University of Washington campus. She is the dandelion hunter. She forages in the urban environment to find food to eat and food for many other things, and we're setting you to a task today, Becky, to help find us some things. And you warned us that here on the grounds of the University of Washington, the gardeners spend a lot of time on it, a lot of beautiful bushes and things, but probably not the best place to start our urban foraging.
It's true. We want to find a place that's either got a lot of native plants or a place that's very unruly with lots of weeds.
All right. We're going to go up 17th Avenue Northeast, which is Frat Row, which is unruly in many ways. And we will find out if it's also unruly when it comes to the plants. Let's go over there and see what we can find. Okay. So now we are on this divider, which is between the two areas of 17th Avenue Northeast. And right away, as soon as you looked down at the lawn here, which looks to me just like some grass and some weeds and things, you saw something. What do you see?
It's true. I saw chickweed right down there.
Let's take a look at this chickweed.
So the reason I know this is chickweed, besides the fact that I have a lot of experience identifying this particular weed, is I'm looking at the little white flower, which you can take a look at, looks kind of like a star if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. When you look closely, it's like a tiny, tiny white star. It's very tiny. And the plant itself is really short. And what's chickweed good for?
Chickweed is a raw, edible wild green. So if you wanted to, you could taste it. It's also a diuretic and generally detoxifying. And if we had anyone with, an insect bite or any kind of abrasion, we could also chop that up and apply it externally to the skin. It'd be very cooling and soothing.
Now, the first of my questions is, it's sitting here right by the sidewalk. I don't know what dogs have walked by. I don't know what kind of pesticides may have been applied to this. What kind of necessary precautions would I take before I plucked something and began to eat it?
This is an excellent question, and a question that every urban forager should be thinking about. I find that the best place to harvest greens would not be right next to the city street. What we have seen in some studies is that the farther away you get from the street, the cleaner your plants are going to be, and then that is, of course, in line also with common sense. And so I generally would like to find greens like this either in a raised planter. Sometimes you find those on city streets. Or in a yard or garden in an area that I know has not been treated with chemicals and has not been pooped on recently by a dog. Urine is not really a concern because that's sterile.
It's a concern to me.
You can rinse that off. It's sterile. It maybe has a gross out factor, but it doesn't have a health risk.
Okay.
So you can always rinse that off. It's dog poop that's the main problem, and it's definitely a good idea to avoid picking greens that you're going to be eating, especially raw, in areas that you think might have been exposed.
Becky, let's see what else we can find. We found chickweed, diuretic, and possible salad ingredient. We were searching the urban environment near the University of Washington, near the KUOW studios, looking for things that Becky Lerner, the dandelion hunter, can turn into medicine or into twine or into tea or who knows what. Dandelion hunter, so dandelion wine is the first thing a lot of us thought of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, dandelion wine is wonderful. Actually, I see a bunch of dandelions here. We could talk about that.
Yeah, okay. What's most people hate dandelions. I just try to pluck them out and get rid of them. So here's a new dandelion plant. There's not any kind of a flower on it yet. What's the potential here?
Actually, all parts of dandelion are useful and edible. And so you mentioned that you could make wine out of dandelion blossoms, and that's definitely true and fun. And you can do jellies and jams with the blossoms as well. People also like to bread and fry the blossoms and do dandelion flower fritters. So that's a lot of fun. You can also do a lot with the greens. You could stir fry the greens. They will tend to be on the more bitter side, but the bitterness varies a lot from plant to plant. So as long as you pick one that's on the younger side, which this doesn't give me, this particular plant doesn't give me the sense that it would be very tasty. What I'd be looking for...
Doesn't look very healthy.
It doesn't look very healthy. No, it's kind of discolored. And what I would prefer to find would be something with leaves that are bright green and seem like they have a lot of moisture in them. This that we're looking at is kind of faded looking. I go a lot by common sense, and what doesn't give me a good feeling, I avoid. But in general, there is a lot of variation in flavor with dandelion. And for the ones that are on the more bitter end of the spectrum, what you could do would be a curry stir fry, spice and some sweetness to it would really balance out the bitter. Another thing you could do, if you wanted to just get the medicinal qualities and the health-promoting qualities in general of dandelion, which are very detoxifying, high in many vitamins including minerals, including potassium, would be you could put the leaves in a green smoothie. And you could do that with lots of berries and maybe some sweetener like agave or honey. And you could do, I love to do it with almond milk. And so there's lots of applications and ways to enjoy the dandelion, bring it into your diet. But I think maybe the most interesting is dandelion coffee.
Dandelion coffee?
Dandelion coffee, yeah. It's pretty much a caffeine-free alternative to regular coffee. It's less bitter and I think more flavorful than conventional coffee. And it's very, very easy to make. Anyone can do it.
How do you do it?
Well, it's really simple. You just dig up the roots and you rinse them and you chop them up. And then you put them in the oven at 350 or 375 and you just wait until you smell chocolate chip cookies. That's it. And once you do, you just pull them right out and you could put them in a coffee grinder and then make them, brew it up just like coffee or put it in a French press. Or you could put it in a tea ball and make it more like a dandelion tea.
Rebecca Lerner is the dandelion hunter. She forages for wild plants, for food, for medicine, for paint, for soap and incense in Portland, Oregon. Her new book is called Dandelion Hunter, Foraging the Urban Wilderness.